إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى أصحابه. أما بعد، فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. يقول عز وجل: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. ويقول عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، يا إخوتي، beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we spoke last week of being thankful and grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the things that we must give thanks to Allah is that He sent us the religion of Islam, the religion that has encompassed all affairs in life with guidance and showed us the clear path and guidance in all affairs. It has left nothing large or small except through the wahi of Allah. It has given us guidance in how to rectify our matters of life. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah says, وَمَا فَرَقْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have left nothing out of this book. There is nothing in this worldly affairs, this life of ours, except that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us guidance and shown us the way to perfect our life and to give us upright, noble principles by which we can live and achieve happiness and love and felicity. Respected brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, from the matters which Islam has paid great attention to and given us much guidance through the Quran and the clarification of the Sunnah is the matter of dealing with wealth, dealing with money, and how to interact in terms of our economic life. Islam has laid down the most beautiful and strong foundation for a successful economic life of a society. This foundation is one that is meshed and in accordance with the perfection of our akhlaq, of this religion, and perfection of the teachings of religion, and as well achieving felicity in the economic sense. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah Al-Jum'ah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْنَ. O you who believe, when it is called to answer the prayer of Jum'ah, then race to the remembrance of Allah and abandon your business. And yet Allah says after this ayah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And then if the prayer is over, go out on the earth and seek of the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this we see how Islam encouraged a good interaction with the dunya and with wealth. One that seeks to obtain wealth in a way that is in accordance with our religion and our principles and our character. For one does not seek wealth during the time of prayer, nor does one abandon work during the time when it is needed. It is the balanced way of Islam. When the call of Friday comes, then race to the remembrance of Allah. And when the prayer is over, go out and seek the bounty of Allah. The time for zikr, the time for remembrance of Allah, we are in remembrance of Him. and the time for working, then we go and we seek the provision of Allah. This balanced way, whereas the previous nation, they took one extreme or the other. We see the balanced way of Islam. In the Bani Israel, the Yahud, they went completely into the dunya, and they abandoned seeking the Akhirah. And in the Nasara, they went to the monasteries and abandoned the dunya altogether, and spent their time away from the dunya. But Islam chose a balanced and perfect way. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn through Islam a good way to obtain halal, permissible wealth. A way to obtain wealth in a way that is pleasing to our Creator. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith that is authentic, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. The 2 feet of a servant on the Day of Judgment shall not move until he is asked about 4 things. And one of those things that he will be asked about, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. The first thing, or one of those things that a person cannot move on the Day of Judgment unless he answers it correctly, where did you seek your wealth and where did you spend it? From where did you obtain your wealth and where did you spend it? Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, from this we see that Islam has laid down many principles and guidelines for dealing with our wealth. So many that we cannot enumerate them all. But today, inshaAllah ta'ala, I would like to share with you, respected brothers and sisters, 5 foundational principles to the successful and happy economic system of Islam. These systems, if we adhere to them, we shall find true felicity in religious terms and in worldly terms. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the first of these foundational, perfect principles, divine guidance that is for all of times and places, the first of those principles is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has taught us that when we buy and sell, we must have amana and sidq. That when a Muslim trader or businessman sells or buys or deals in business, he must perfect his trustworthiness and his truthfulness in his speech. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا أَمَانَاتِ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah commands you to fulfill the trust to their rightful owners. And a Muslim businessman who is honest, you know who he will be with on the Day of Judgment? He will be with the Prophet and the truthful one and the Shuhada. This is from the words of the Prophet ﷺ, التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. A person who fulfills trustworthiness in speech and honesty, a businessman, he will be with the messengers on the Day of Judgment. And this trustworthiness that Allah commands us to fulfill is not only with Muslims, but even with the non-Muslims, even with those who do not follow Islam. And this honesty and trustworthiness, when it was practiced by the Muslims, was the means for many, many people to enter Islam. In fact, entire nations became Muslims due to the honesty of Muslim traders. If you meet people from Malaysia, they'll tell you the story. How traders they came, and no Muslim army ever entered Malaysia. They were so honest in their transactions that the people began to learn about Islam, until the king himself accepted Islam at the hands of these Muslim traders, and the entire nation became Muslim. So honesty and trustworthiness is the characteristic of a Muslim businessman. That is the first of the foundational principles of Islamic economics. The second principle, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in Islamic economics, is being forgiving, تسامح وتساهم. being forgiving and easygoing when we deal in business, being easy with one who buys and one who sells, being easy in requesting the price and paying the price. We see this in many affairs in the Islamic teaching. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that a person will come on the Day of Judgment whom Allah had given a great vast amount of wealth. He was a very rich man. Allah will say to him, "What did you do with that wealth that I had given you? What did you do with these riches?" He will say, "Oh Allah, whenever I did business, I was easygoing. I forgave the one who bought from me. If he bought and he couldn't pay for it, he couldn't afford it, he was poor, he was bankrupt, I forgave him. I overlooked him, Ya Allah." This was his answer, this rich man. So Allah, do you know how he responds to this person? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, "I have more right to be forgiving than you. Forgive this slave of mine. Forgive this servant of mine." So this is the noble characteristic of a Muslim in business, that he's easygoing, he's forgiving. As the Prophet ﷺ said, "May Allah have mercy on the one, when he buys he is forgiving, when he sells he is easygoing and forgiving. When he seeks repayment of a loan, he is easy and forgiving. And when he pays back the loan, he is easy and forgiving." Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the third foundational principle in Islamic economics, in this beautiful deen that taught us true happiness, is that every person's wealth can only be taken through complete contentment and satisfaction. At-taradi. The Prophet ﷺ said, "إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ." Buying and selling can only be through complete happiness and satisfaction by the two parties. Nobody can be oppressed. Nobody should be wronged in the business transaction. And the way that this is fulfilled in Islamic law is that two parties, they must both completely agree and understand the terms of the sale. And any part that is ambiguous in the sale will nullify the contract, because that ambiguity could harm one of the two parties. Somebody wants to sell a box, there's something inside but nobody knows what it is. He is not allowed to sell that box to another person, because he might think, the buyer might think there's something valuable and he spends a lot, but he gets little. So he's oppressed. And from what Islam prohibits is taking advantage of people's needs. Somebody is in desperate need for water, then to raise the price and prevent him from the water until he gets a higher price. This is also in violation of selling on complete satisfaction. Somebody who's so desperate that the seller takes advantage of their need in order to obtain a greater property from them. This is called monopolizing, ihtikar. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "La yahtakiru illa al-khati." Nobody does monopolizing except one who is wrong. And it's defined by withholding property that people are in need of from the market until its value goes up, and then selling it at a high price. This is forbidden in Islam. Also, respected brothers, what comes under this category is the prohibition of cheating and stealing. Because cheating and raising or hiding defects in property is also selling without true contentment. The person who buys an object not knowing there's a hidden defect in it, he is not completely satisfied with that sale. And in fact, Islam says that if somebody is tricked in a sale and he is overcharged by a great amount, he has a right to return that product back to its owner. Again, these principles, they teach us that every sale must be completely satisfied. No one's wealth can be taken without due right. And the whole Sharia of Islam, it came down to protect the five darurat al-khams, the five necessities, and one of those is wealth. Wealth cannot be taken without its due right. And from this, Islam prohibits interest in usury, because the poor person is stripped of his wealth by force by the lender, and he is not able to pay, and more is put upon him, and extracted from the poor and usurped from him. So Islam forbids the usurious transaction because the innocent, the weak, the poor are taken advantage of by the wealthy. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, what is also wrong is one who is able to repay a loan, he refuses to pay it back. This is called matl in Arabic. Matlul ghani haram. Somebody who has the ability to pay back the loan but he refuses, this is also prohibited because it is taking wealth without its due right. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have two more principles that is the basis of Islamic law in economics. Number four is that every transaction in Islam should encourage love and brotherhood. Every economic transaction must be in conformity and support love and brotherhood, and anything that harms and takes away from the spirit of love and brotherhood, then it is forbidden in Islam. What is an example of this? The scholars, they say that if a person is selling a product and there's a buyer ready to purchase it, and another seller comes and intervenes in the transaction and he says, I will sell you the same product for less. So what will happen to the first seller? His heart will be upset and it will lead to hatred amongst the believers. Why did he interfere in my transaction? We had completed a deal and he interfered and took over the sale from me. And likewise, if somebody is about to buy a product for a certain price and another person comes and he tells the seller, I'll buy it for more. I'll give you more than what this other person was about to buy it for. So that first buyer, he will be upset and will lead to ill feeling between the buyer and the other buyer. So you see, Islam protects the love. Whatever leads to love and good relations between people, this is what is taught and encouraged by the Islamic law. Also, what Islam forbids is selling things without knowing if they are there. Selling what you don't own. Selling fruit before it becomes ripe on the tree. Selling fish in the water. Selling birds in the sky. Because one might buy a fish, it looks large in this tank, but then when he takes it out, it is small. He might buy birds in the air, but they fly away before he can receive them. Or he might buy fruit, and a cold frost comes and destroys the fruit. So again, this teaches us that in order to preserve the wealth of people from being taken wrongfully. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the final principle of Islamic economics is that it's called al-ihsan. Ihsan means being good and being benevolent with one another. And there are two examples of benevolence in Islamic economics. One example is when two people buy or they have a contract or they had a trade or a transaction and they dispute with one another. So what Islam encourages is to make a sulh, a treaty, for one person to go to the other and make an agreement or a mediator to come between them and settle their dispute. One person comes down from his right, one person comes up, they meet in the middle and they settle their dispute. This leads to benevolence. One gives up a little bit of his right in order to achieve felicity, achieve happiness with the other party. And one other example the scholars give of benevolence in Islam is paying back a loan with more than what is due as long as it wasn't a precondition. A person cannot receive benefit through his loan, but if he pays back more than what is due out of his own good charity, his own benevolence, then this leads to happiness and love between the two parties. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, these are some of the beautiful, important, foundational guidance that came from the wahi of Allah to lead to the felicity of Muslims and believers in all their economic affairs. We ask Allah to help us to abide by them and live by them. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ اِسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد والعاقبة للمتقين. أما بعد، فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. My respected and beloved honored brothers and sisters in Islam, one more reminder from the teachings of Islam. One is that the worker, he should be honest and fulfill and be excellent in his work and fulfill the contract to the best of his ability. Al-Itqan. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah loves when a person does an action that he perfects it. He loves Itqan. He loves doing things full-heartedly, fulfilling one's contract full-heartedly and not being short and not being lazy in the work that one does and fulfilling the contract faithfully. And at the same time, Islam teaches the worker that the worker has rights when he fulfills his due work, that he has the right to be paid on time. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that pay the worker before his sweat is drying. And also the worker should not be overburdened beyond his or his ability or her ability. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So Islam teaches this very complacent, this very complementary relationship between employer and employee. The employee fulfills his work to the best of his ability, and the employer, he is gentle and does not overburden his employee. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we began this khutbah by reminding ourselves about giving thanks to Allah for perfecting this religion and making us of the Muslims who have these beautiful guidance, this beautiful spirit of love when it comes to the economic life. If we adhere to it, we shall achieve true felicity and happiness in this world and the next. If we adhere to it, love will spread between us and ill feeling will perish. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, these are some principles of Islamic economics. Adhere to them. May you all be successful. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارضي عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وأذل المشركين يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا جميعا اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم تقبل منا واغفر لنا جميعا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا من يوم الجمعة من فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا إن شانئك هو الله.